Today's daf is Mem Tet. We're going to go back and start from the Mishnah and just review from there. I'm Mem Chen Amabet, and today's shiur is dedicated specifically to Le'iloi Nishmat Avi Ben Rafael on the Yeretz side. Okay, so the Mishnah had said, Zor'in tachteh yirakot b'yamodak shamim avalo b'yamodak hama. Okay, we're going to kind of, the chazirim is the lettuce, we're going to put that aside because that doesn't interest us for right now. Lo b'yamodak hama v'lo b'yamodak shamim, any time of year. But generally with the machloket, Rabbi Yossi and Tanakhama is going to be about whether you can plant under an Eitz Asherah in the rainy season and not in the summer season, because in the summer season you want the shade and you're benefiting from the tree. Rabbi Yossi says, Af lo yirakot b'yamodak shamim b'pnei shenivayano sheret alehem v'havalehem lezevel. We're worried about the Asherah tree fertilizing the crops. Before we move on, Naomi asked a question yesterday about the Asherah. Is an Asherah any tree? Was it a specific type of tree? So I wanted to just read you the Ramban. It says in Dvarim, Perek Tetzayin, Pasuk Kaf Aleph, Lo titalecha Asherah kol etz al mizbeach Hashem alokecha asher taseh lach. Don't plant an Asherah near the mizbeach. It says, "V'lo takim l'chamatzeva asher sanei Hashem alokecha." It's just the next pasuk. So the Ramban says basically that what the Asherah was, and they prove it from Gidon, where he breaks down the mizbeach and then cuts down the trees that are next to the mizbeach. That the Asherah was generally a tree that was planted next to the mizbeach. Okay, so he says here, "Kol ha'ilan ha'netua al pitchei beit Elohim yikra Asherah." He claims, again, there's different opinions about this, but I wanted to bring you the Ramban's opinion, because he specifically addresses what makes something an Asherah, and he says that an Asherah was a tree that was planted next to Mizbachot. And that's why we can't even plant any tree even, and he goes to say, even if you're planting a tree for it to look nice next to the Mizbeach, it's not allowed, because it looks like people are worshipping this tree like the Asherah was worshipped. Okay, so that's an answer to the question about this Asherah. Okay, is Asherah any Asherah, or, again, it's not so clear, there's different opinions about it, but it looks like that was a pretty basic opinion.
I looked up on Wikipedia, maybe a Christian thing, but it was kind of interesting.
Right. Right, I looked at the Wikipedia entry. It didn't, I wasn't sure exactly if it was answering. Like, it also called the specific tree was an Asherah. I don't know, I skimmed it.
It said it was a tree that was sort of cut off at the top and then carved into the figure of a woman.
Ah, interesting.
So you see the roots, you see the tree, but
it looked like
the branches.
Interesting. Interesting. Okay. But it's clear, again, from our sources that it wasn't a type of tree, because it was planted for the purposes of Avodah Zarah worship, meaning that, you know, if it was planted not for Avodah Zarah worship, it wasn't called an Asherah. Or, again, it could have been then later set aside for Avodah Zarah, but at some point, someone had to set it aside for it to be problematic. Okay, so now, again, Rabbi Yossi says the Nivayaz no Sherah, and it causes, right, it fertilizes the crops, which we then said, okay, I'm just going to review a little bit. Okay, you can look at the chart on the sheet today. We said then that the basis for the machloket must be zevzegorim is mutar, that's Tanakama, and that's why it's allowed in the Yemod HaChama, in the Yemod HaKshamim. And Rabbi Yossi had said zevzegorim, what's zevzegorim, right? When you have two things that are causing it to grow, you have both the land, which is fine, and in addition, you now have this fertilizer, so zevzegorim, according to Rabbi Yossi, is going to be usher, because he seems to say that it's a problem. Okay, then we said, but wait a minute, don't we have where they say the opposite opinion? Okay, we'll read this inside. Okay, from the third line where after the Gemara starts, Ha'ib chashamin an lehu, ditnam Rabbi Yossi omer, shochek v'zoreh l'roch, o matil hayam, meaning, right, you have to grind it up and then you can just throw it into the air. We don't care about it fertilizing. And Amrulo, the rabbi said to him, Afi nasa zevel, v'ne'emar le'ibak b'yadcham u'mam anachherim. So we said, each of the shitot seem to be flipped here. Rakasha d'rabanan ad'rabanan, kasha d'rabi yosi ad'rabi yosi. So then we said, bishlama d'rabi yosi ad'rabi yosi lo kasha. You can distinguish between grinding it up and sprinkling it into the air, spreading it, scattering it into the air, because hatam ka'azali ibud, you're basically making it disappear, and it's nothing, and there's so little, again, there were a few different ways of interpreting, but let's just assume there's so little anywhere that it's, but if it falls from the Asherah tree right on the crops, there's a significant amount. And that's not liibud. So hacha de lo kaza liibud isu. But still we're left with Rabbanan de Rabbanan Kash, yeah? So the first answer, the Gemara is Ipuch, switch the Shitot and say that in fact, where it says Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, it's really Tanakama. And where it says Tanakama, it's really Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi is the one who matirs, and Tanakama is the one who says it's Asr. So then they say, V'ibayit Emor, or you can suggest Lotipuch. De Rabbi Yossi Kedishaninan. So Rabbi Yossi, in other words, if we go with, okay, you can look here now on the chart, so we're up to the second Teruts. You could say Rabbi Yossi, like we answered before. He would distinguish between the previous Mishnah about the Zoreh LaRuach and this Mishnah because there's more significant fertilizer here. But now we're left with Rabbanan, right? So De Rabbanan, Keda Amar of Mary, Berei De Rav Kahana, Masha Mashbiach Ba'or Pogem Ba'Basar. Okay, in order to understand this, you have to know what on earth is he talking about. Okay, so you have an animal of hekdesh. We know that if you, what does that mean? You set aside this animal to bring a korban. What happens? The animal gets a mum. The animal gets a mum, a blemish. You now can't use the animal anymore. So what do? You can't just say, oh, the kedusha is gone. You have to do pidyon. So you redeem it. Now, there's an issue, though, even though you redeem it, and it doesn't, it's called chulin, but it's not 100% chol. It has some element of sort of kedusha still in it. And what does that mean? You can't treat it disrespectfully. Okay, so what does that mean? One of the things is that if you're taking off the skin, to use the skin, if you take off, you want to use the hide, so there's different ways to do it. You can cut off pieces of it, which is not going to be so usable. You want to take it off all in one piece. Think about if you skin a chicken, right? So if you pull, you can, in theory, pull it all off at once. Let's say you're taking a drumstick, right? You want to pull off the skin. You can pull the whole thing off at once. And then you have one piece. The problem is if you do this with the hide, so that's the best way to do it, to get the most skin out of it. But the most hide, but what are you losing here? You're going to lose the meat. Okay, this doesn't necessarily happen with the chicken, but it wasn't the perfect example. But when you skin the hide by pulling it off through the legs in one piece, you're going to remove meat. And that's going to be disrespectful to the animal by removing some of the meat. Okay, and therefore, it'll be a problem. What?
It's dead.
Well, yeah, but it's still, the point is you have to treat the animal with respect. In other words, even the dead animal. Okay, the point is this has some sort of kedusha still on it, so that's a problem. So then they say, but wait, it's actually, and it's, what does it mean? Oh, so this is a good question, right? What does it mean respect for the animal? The animal's dead. So what do we mean? We mean it's going to be worth less because you're taking you've removed some of the meat. Okay, so the meat is off, you know, the meat comes with the hide, and then you're having less meat on the animal. But then they say, but wait a minute. By not allowing us to do this, it's devaluing the animal in terms of the skin. So in other words, either you're devaluing it because of the meat, or you're devaluing it because of the skin. So the answer given is, Masha Mashbiach Pa'or Pogem Babasar. In other words, one counterbalances the other. Okay, in other words, it's not that it'll be worth more if you pull it off through the leg, because, and as you might say, maybe it's allowed because it'll make the animal worth more. It's the opposite, right? That you're then, what's the issue of the animal being worth more in terms of the pidyon, that you should be podet for a higher amount? So now they're saying, it'll be the, you know, it won't make it more valuable because you're pulling off the meat with it. So it's going to counterbalance it. So how does this relate to us? Hachanami, masha mashbiach b'nivyah pogem batzel. In the end, they're not concerned about the fertilizer, Rabban. And yes, they would say Zev Zegorim is Usr. But what do they say? In this case, it's not a case of about the crops benefiting from the fertilizer. Because, it gains from the fertilizer, but it loses from the shade. So at the end, it's a zero-sum game. Okay? So that would be the answer for Rabbanan. Now we're going to say like this. So now we're assuming what? That either we say, right, lo tipuch, and then Rabbi Yossi is still saying, I'm sorry, I said it wrong. Chachamim would say zev zegorim is mutar, but in this case, right, 1 second. Drabana kasha, right? Right, we're going to say here, no, sorry, Tanakama would say Zev Zegorim is mutar, and because, right, it's mutar dafka in this case, because, right, in the other case it's going to be usher, in this case it's going to be mutar specifically because it's a zero-sum game. So now we say like this. According to this, Rabbi Yossi is still in his original opinion, Zev Zegorim is usher. So now the question is, does he really say Zev Zegorim Aser? V'savah Rabbi Yossi Zev Zegorim Aser. V'hatnan Rabbi Yossi Omer. Not'im Yichur Shel Orla. V'ein Not'im Egoz Shel Orla Mipnei Shehu Pri. Okay, what does this mean? Orla is a tree that you plant, and you plant a fruit tree, and for the first 3 years you can't eat the fruits of the tree. But you can, and it's Aser Bahana. You can't get any benefit, but you can get benefit from the tree itself, just not from the fruits of the tree. So therefore, he says, you could take a shoot coming out of that tree and plant it, but you can't plant a nut that comes off the tree, because that's a fruit from the tree. Okay, obviously we mean within the first 3 years. V'amar Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, Modeh Rabbi Yossi, she'im nata v'hivrich v'herkiv mutar. If you took this nut and you grafted it, or right, took a shoot from another, right, and you basically replanted it in a way that it's basically combined with other things, and it's a case of zev zegorem, then it would be mutar. V'tanya nami hachim, there's another brayta to support this. It's not just the Rabbi Yehuda said this in the name of Rav, but there's a brayta that says, okay, which is basically the same thing, it's just that it's an earlier source even, that Rabbi Yossi, Modeh Rabbi Yossi, he admits, she'im natavi rich v'yarkiv mutar. Okay, so basically, we now say we still have a problem, and at first we said we have a problem with Zev Zegorim Aser because Shochek Vezorel Aruach, and he's not worried about the Zevel. There we said, oh, we could say it's for some other reason. But here we see that he holds by Orla Zev Zegorim Aser. So now we're going to say, I'm sorry, Zev Zegorim Mutar. He's allowed to do it. So now, what's the best suggestion to say? Maybe he distinguishes between Avodah Zarah and Orla, because Avodah Zarah we're always more machmir about. So Zev Zegorim could be mutar in Orla, but it's not going to be mutar in Avodah Zarah. But they're going to reject that. They're going to suggest, V'chitei mashani leila Rabbi Yossi ben shari srim l'avodah kohavim. If you want to say maybe he distinguishes, U'mishani leila, who's to say he distinguishes? Now we're going to bring another source. Okay, I'll already kind of preface where we're going with this. We're going to claim that the only person that must be the author of this braita who forbids who permits must be Rabbi Yossi. Okay, so then we're going to end up with again Rabbi Yossi. It doesn't make it, and even in Avodah Zarah case, he's going to be Matir Zev Zegorim. In which case, how could he say Zev Zegorim is usher by us? So what's the source? V'hatanya Sadeshin is dabla bezevel avodah kochavim. You have a field, it's exactly our case, right? That was fertilized with fertilizer from avodah kochavim, something that was avodah zarah. V'chein para sheniptima b'karshinei avodah kochavim. If you fattened up your animal using things that came from avodah zarah, using foods that came from avodah zarah, what is it? Cress? Karshinei?
Vetch.
Vetch, right, vetch. Okay, by using vetch of avodah kochavim. So now we're going to have two different braitot about the halacha for this case, okay? Tan echad, in one source it says, sadeh tizra, parat tishchat, you can use it, okay? Because again, what do you have in both these cases? It's zev zegorem. It's not only that he got fattened from that vetch, but and it's not only that it grew from that fertilizer. There were other factors. But tanya idach, sadeh tavur uparat tirzeh. The other braita says, no, the sadeh has to be left to grow without dealing with it. And the parat yirzeh has to be thinned out until basically it doesn't have this vetch in it anymore. Okay, go figure. But I guess if the point is it fattened it. Once it's no longer fat, then you can say, okay, well, the avodah zarah didn't do anything. In which case, what are we going to suggest? My love, Harabi Yossi v'harabanan. In other words, the fact that we have these two braitot, and one holds like one and one holds like the other, it must be who's the author of, like, who do we know? What Tanaim discussed this issue? Tanakam of Rabbi Yossi, you know, our Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi, and therefore we can assume HaRabbi Yossi v'HaRabbanan, in which case we have no other choice but to say that Rabbi Yossi, if what did we say before? We said that Rabbi Yossi in Orla maybe says it's okay, but wouldn't say the same in Avodah Zarah, but now we're assuming the fact that there's, you know, what was the case in Avodah Zarah? How does it work? I'm sorry, in Orla. In Orla, right, there was one who was Oser, and one who was, right. Rabbi Yossi was Oser in Orla, right? But then when it came to a case of Zev Zegorim, he was Matir, right? And he agreed, Modeh Rabbi Yossi, he agreed with the other side. What does it show here? Chachamim were more mekel than he was. And he was the one who said, well, if it's Zevzeh Gorim, it'll be mutar. So therefore, what do we see here? If we're going to have this machloket between them, right, then we're going to say, one second, right, he must be the one who is, no, one second, then it would be, he would be Oser. Right, he must be Oser here, right? That was the case. In other words, the point is, he must be, one second.
It emerges that he permits the product of the
right, he would permit, sorry, let's just go through. First we said, we're going to assume he's Oser, right? And that just in the case of the Zorela Ruach, he wasn't. And then we said, in the case of Orla, he's Modeh that it's okay. And then maybe you would think he distinguished between Orla and Avodah Zarah. But then here we want to say basically that he would be Matir, mm-hmm. right? HaRabbi Yossi, why are we assuming that he would be Matir and Rabbanan would be Oser? One second. Fine, so we're going to assume here, sorry, I said it wrong by bringing that case before about them being Matir. Let's do it the other way. In the case of the Yirakot, in the case of the Zorela Ruach, so remember what happened there. That's why we're going back to that Braita. In that Braita, Rabbi Yossi said, I'm not worried about Zevzeh Gorim because it's so little. Chachamim there said, what do you mean? It's causing it to fertilize. So Chachamim are obviously more concerned about Zevzeh Gorim, according to that. So therefore, we're going to say, even though you could say, right, we can try to explain it, but basically they're going to say, it must be that we're back to where we started, the look at that source, and that source seemed like it was an issue of Zevzeh Gorim and it's Machloket, Tanakama Rabbi Yossi. Here also, it must be, if there's two opinions, it must be Machloket, Tanakama Rabbi Yossi. And therefore you see that you can't say difference in Avodah Zarah, and Avodah Zarah he's Machmir, because even here, we would assume that he's Matir. So right now we're assuming that Rabbi Yossi, according to this, it sounds like he must be the one who's Matir, and Chachamim are the ones who are Osir, which would then be a contradiction to what we said earlier, that he holds that Zevzeh Gorim is Asur. So now we're going to say, oh, who's to say that they're the only two Tanaim? Maybe there's other and different machloket where we see Zevzeh Gorim, and it has nothing to do with Rabbi Yossi. So we're going to go off on a tangent to try to explain that. In the end, we're going to come back to it, but back to Rabbi Yossi. We're not going to succeed in doing this, but let's attempt. Lo, you don't have to say it's HaRabbi Yossi, HaRabbanan, right? Because we don't even know who the authors of those brightas were. We can claim HaRabbi Elazar v'HaRabbanan. Yeah, it sounds like a very nice answer, but obviously the Gemara is going to say, well, hey, Rabbi Elazar v'HaRabbanan. Where do you see Rabbi Elazar v'HaRabbanan arguing about this issue? Ilema, whenever you see Ilema, you know it's going to be rejected. Okay, first attempt is, okay, these are what I brought these two at the bottom of the sheet, these two Nisio notes to explain. I kind of left the chart for a minute and went out of the chart to explain this, to chart this one. So maybe it's Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbanan de Se'or. In the case of Se'or, what's the case? Ditnan, Se'or shel chulim v'shel truma, shenaflu l'toch isa, lo b'zeh kedei l'chametz, v'lo b'zeh kedei l'chametz, v'nitzdarfu v'chimtzu. Okay, we have how do they translate Seor as a leavening agent of chulin, an leavening agent that was made of truma, and now once it's truma, then it's only going to be allowed to kohanim, to nobody else. They fall together into a dough. Neither one on its own can cause the dough to rise, but together they made the bread leavened bread. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Achar Acharon Aniba. We go by which was the one that fell in last. Chachamim Omerim, Bein Shenafal Isur Lechatchila, Ubein Shenafal Isur Levasofir Lechatchila means first. Whether the Truma one fell first or the Truma one fell in second, it doesn't matter. Eino Asur, An Shehebo Kedei Lechametz. Each one has to have enough of it in order to leaven the bread to make it forbidden. Because if this truma fell in and couldn't have leavened the bread on its own, it's not going to create a problem. Because what? Zevzeh Gorim is mutar. And what do you see? Rabbi Lezer, right, we're going to assume, so now we'll see here. Va'amar Abaye explains this Mishnah, this machloket, as what? Lo shanu ela shekadam v'sileket ha'isur. Now we're focusing on when Rabbi Lezer says it's mutar, in the case where Right? He goes by the Acharon, which means what? If first you added the Truma one, second you added the Chulin one, then it would be Mutar according to him. But comes Abaye and he says, he only says it's going to be Mutar in which case? Ela shekadam v'sileket ha'isur. Only if you remove the forbidden one. If you put in the forbidden one, then you realize, oh, this is Truma. Let me take it out. Then you put in the other one, or you put in the other one, but at least at some point you removed the Truma one. I'm not going to get into technically speaking how you do this, right? If it's obviously it must not have been mixed in somehow. If you can remove it, then he'll permit it. Avaloki dem v'sileket ha'isur asur. So according to Abaye, even Rabbi Lezer matures in a particular case, he only matures it if the object isn't there. But if the object is there, then it'll be asur. And why would it be asur? Zev zeh gorem. So basically we're going to say this is a clear issue of zev zeh gorem, mutar asur, and therefore we can assume those two brayta went according to Rabbi Lezer and Chachamim. But now the Gemara rejects this and says, mimai detamid de Rabbi Lezer kedabaye. How do you know that Abaye is right about this? In other words, maybe Abaye is not right about this. Dilma Tamad Rabbi Lezer Mishum Ta'achar Acharon Aniba. He says, maybe the reason he says this is because we're going to follow the last one. We're going to basically say the last one is the determining one. Igamer b'isura asuha, v'igamer b'hetera mutarin, bein salke, bein lo salke. In which case, his issue is just, it sounds a little bit like we have when somebody says something and then they say something after, which means the opposite of what they said the first time. Do we go by what they said at first or what they said at last? And as maybe we say that the last thing is what's koveya. And it has nothing to do with zevzegorim usher. It has to do with which has the most power maybe to operate on this thing. And it's the last one is the one that's koveya. So therefore we're going to basically say it goes by that and this has nothing to do with zevzegorim mutar usher. So then we're stuck back where we started. So it's not, maybe it's not that Rabbi Lezer Chachamim. Ela Rabbi Lezer v'Rabbanan de Eitzim. Maybe it's this one. This is going to be the next Mishnah we're going to see today. Titnan Natal Hemena Eitzim. If you took from the Asherah tree some Eitzim, some logs, Asura b'hana'a. Okay, they're forbidden. Let's say you chop off some logs from the tree. There were branches. They're forbidden b'hana'a. So let's say you use them anyway. Heisik ba tatanur. If you basically lit up the oven, chadash, if it was a brand new oven, now what's the assumption? If you put, you had, okay, we don't know this from ovens nowadays. You buy a brand new oven, this doesn't happen. But in those days, when you had a brand new oven, the first time you lit the fire, it basically solidified the oven. It turned the oven, right? It was like the last act, like the makeba patish that turns the oven into an oven. And basically, it's like when they say wash clothes before wearing them, you know, almost like that does the final act to make it usable. And clothes is not exactly true, you could wear it before. But, you know, there's this concept of that act of burning a fire in the oven would solidify the oven. So now, what do they say? So if it was a brand new oven and you put this atzei asherah, you tatz, you can only smash the oven and the oven can never be used. Yashan, if it was an old one, it was used already, then yutsan. Then you have to wait for it to cool off, like tsonein. You have to wait for it to cool down. There's no heat anymore. Then you're no longer benefiting from whatever twigs you put in there. Afabo et hapat, what if you bake bread in there? Asura bahana, the bread is asur bahana. Nit arvaba acherim, let's say this bread that's forbidden now gets mixed up with a whole bunch of other breads. Kulan asurot bahana. Okay, you now have a tarovet. This classic case of, you know, do we use dine bitul or not, right? There's all sorts of things where we say dine bitul don't apply, or there's different ratios than bitul b'shishim, we generally say 1 in 60. Here we're now going to say all the loaves are now asr. Rabbi Lezer Omer, yolich hana'a liyam ha-melach. He says, no, you can take the value of the bread. Okay, now there's a big debate here about, are we talking about only once it's mixed in? Or are we talking about bread in general? Let's say you bake this bread with, okay, we don't know what he's really referring to. There's a big machloket we've shown him about this. And there's another, right, okay, so let's just hold off right now. So what does he say? You can redeem this bread, take the value of the bread. Let's say the bread's worth 10 shekels. Take 10 shekels, throw them in Yam HaMelech, destroy them, and basically you can now eat the bread. So again, debate among the Rishonim. Does he mean only once it's mixed in a tarovet, because it's such a huge loss of all these loaves, we're going to throw them all out? No, so we allow you to do pidyon, throw out 10 shekels worth, and now you're, all the breads are mutar. Or some even say that according to him, you can be podeh, the avodah, like, in a, since, again, why would you say this? We'll talk about this in the next Mishnah. Potentially saying this because there's no actual avodah zarah in there, it's just it was cooked, there's indirect avodah zarah in it, so in that case he allows pidyon. The other question becomes, does he allow pidyon just for isur hana'a, or does he allow it even for achila? There's a debate, right? Some people might say, he doesn't allow you to eat it, but you can at least sell it, okay? But it's another debate about it. It's interesting, there's all these debates about his view of pidyon here, because pidyon never really comes up in avodah zarah. Where all of a sudden do we get this idea of pidyon? And of course, what do chachamim say back to him? Amru lo, heim pidyon, lavadah kochavim. Right? No way, can't do that. So now we're going to say that what? Why does he say you can do pidyon? Because zevezegoreb. It wasn't just that that caused the pot to cook, right? There were other elements that contributed to it, and there, oh no, sorry, the opposite. Said it wrong. According to this, why does it need pidyon? Why is it usser? And as really everyone in this would agree, zevezegoreb is usser. Because what do you see? The bread is usser. Yes, you can do pidyon, but forget about pidyon. You see here that the bread is usser. And you see Rabbi Eliezer commenting here, right? So Rabbi Eliezer must hold zev zegorim is usser because this pot is forbidden. Okay? So you see, he holds that. But now what are we stuck with? Well, Rabbanan, depligei alei de Rabbi Eliezer, mani ninhu. But where do we see some other opinion, right? This Mishnah seems to say everybody thinks zev zegorim is usser. So if we want to say it's a machloket and each one holds by this, we have to find someone who holds on the other side. So, ilema rabbanan de eitzim. If you want to say it's the rabbanan in this Mishnah, well, achmure machmure. They're dafka more machmir because not only do they say it's usher, they don't even allow pidyon. So, it for sure can't be that. Ela le rabbanan de seor. Maybe it's the rabbis in the seor case, right? Where we said, if you have the seor, no matter what, right? What are we going to say here? It doesn't, as long, you have to have enough of each one. Sorry, one second. The rabbanan in the seor case said, Bein Shanafal, right, Bein Shanafal first, or Bein Shanafal, Yisur Levasof, Eino Asur Ad Sheyebo Kedei L'chameitz, and therefore the fact that the two work together matirs it, right? It's not going to be forbidden because neither one could have done it on its own. Maybe that, but you could say, again, like we suggested before, Yimid Shamalei the Rabbanan de Mekilei B'Seor, maybe they're making it Seor, but Papadach Kochavim mi Mekilei, but who's to say they're going to be making, right? They might be making in a Truma case, but they're not necessarily be making in the Avodah Zarah case. So you can't necessarily say that. So therefore, even though we found that Rabbi Eliezer holds on one side of this machloka, we don't actually find someone who disagrees with him, in which case we can say it's machloka Rabbi Eliezer v'chachamim, and we're back to our original HaRabbi Yossi v'HaRabbanan, which left us with a problem, which is, right, if he holds Zev Zegorim Mutar, why does it seem that he holds Zev Zegorim Usur in our case, right? Because in general, he holds Zev Zegorim as Mutar, but yet in the other, in our case, he holds Zev Zegorim as Usur. So how are we going to explain this? Rabbi Yossi, in our Mishnah, L'divrehen L'dirabanan Amar L'divrehen D'rabanan, there should be another word here, I think. Right, Ka'amar. Okay? He was speaking, he wasn't talking about his own opinion in the Mishnah. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Zorin tachte yirakot b'yemorach shamim avalo b'yemorach hama. Right? Rabbi Yossi says, af lo yirakot b'yemorach shamim, because it fertilizes. According to this, he wasn't talking about his own opinion. He doesn't think there's a problem, because he thinks Zev Zegorim is mutar. But what was he saying? Amar lehu lididi, according to you, I'm sorry, according to me, lididi, Zev Zegorim is mutar. And I have no problem with this at all. But lididchu, but according to you, damaritu, zev zegorim usser, who disagree with me on that issue, right? We had an argument somewhere else about it, and you think it's usser, oduli mihat, at least admit to me that af yirakopi yimorek shamim are not going to be, right? Even yirakopi yimorek shamim, according to you, if you're so into zev zegorim is usser, well, then you should be worried about the fertilizing here. Right, which is, makes sense. There they said to him, well, isn't it going to fertilize? So he's like throwing it back in their face. I thought you were worried about it fertilizing. So why'd you make this distinction? Yimonach hamayim, yimonach shamim, and all you're worried about this is the shade. What about the fertilizer? And he wasn't really talking within his own opinion. And then we were left with the problem we saw before about that Chamim said Apunasa Zevel, right? So what are they going to respond? Because they didn't agree with him about the Zevel here. So again, Kida Amar of Mary, Bereid Rav Kana, Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halachaki Rabbi Yos. I'm sorry, I skipped that. No, Rabbanan Kida Amar, Rav Mary Bereid Rav Kahana. Sorry, I skipped the line. Rabbanan are going to answer like they did before. In this case, we hold, yes, it's true, it fertilizes, but the shade overrides it, right? And it's going to basically be a zero-sum game. Okay, and that's why we don't view the fertilizer here as an issue, even though we viewed it there as an issue. And then, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Halacha Rabbi Yossi. We fast hold like Rabbi Yossi, that Zev Zeh Gorin is Mutar. Okay? So we tried to suggest in the beginning, if you look back at the sheet, right, we tried to suggest that Zev Zeh Gorin was Mutar according to Hanukkah and Asur according to Rabbi Yossi. In the end, we flip it and we say it must be the opposite. Rabbi Yossi holds Zev Zeh Gorin was Mutar, and Chachamim hold that it's Asur. And our Mishnah wasn't actually Rabbi Yossi's opinion. It was only him saying to Chachamim, you should admit to me, at least that, right, in this case, you would, as according to you, you should think that it's a problem across the board. Okay. Now we're going to have a situation. So now we're going to see Alach Lamaaseh. There was a gina that had fertilizer from Avodah Kochavim. Shalach Rav Amram Kamedya Rav Yosef. So he asked the question of four of Yosef. Amalei, Hachi Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halachak Rav Yosi. And in fact, we paskin, it's not an issue. Because Zev Zeh Gorin would be mutar. Okay, and that's how they paskin. Okay, new Mishnah. This is the Mishnah we just saw. Natal mimena, so this part will be a little easy. Natal mimena etzim, if you took etzim from the Asherah, asurim bahana'a, they're going to be forbidden for hana'a. What if, though, you used it anyway? Hisik ba'at hatanur, so im chadash, if it's a new one, yutat, you have to smash it. Im yashan, yutzan. And you could see here, this was clearly a literary. They used the words, could have used other words, but they use words yutat, yutzan, right? They kind of go together. Afabo, right, so you basically have to wait till it cools off and then you could cook something else in there. Afabo atapat, if you did use those etzim to light up the fire and you bake bread, asura bahana'a, nidarva b'acherot, kulan asurot. Okay, there's no din of bitul. Asurot bahana'a. Rabbi Lezer omer, yolich hana'a liyam ha-melech, right, you can be do pidyon and then you can actually use the bread, like I said, machlokot, a lot of machlokot about what case is he referring to. Amrulo, they said to him, Ein pidyon lavadak kochavim. Now we're going to have the exact same situation, just with something else, not with baking, but with weaving. Natali menu karkur, if you take the weaving, what do they call it?
The weaver's
pick. The weaver's, is it a pick? Okay, they call it a pick, fine. It's this thing that you would move in and out to get the threads going in.
I thought it was a shuttle.
Yeah, a shuttle, that's what it is. It was called a shuttle in the Koran. I think that's the better word for it. That's the way the Koran viewed it. That's when I looked at the translation there. It's a shuttle that you move in and out. I don't know what the pick is, but according to the Koran, it's the shuttle. Either which way, it's some implement used for weaving that's made out of wood. So let's say you took from the tree and you made a karkor out of it. Asur bahana'a, okay? You can't benefit from it. Arad bo etabeged, let's say you made your shirt with it, you wove your shirt with it. Asur bahana'a. Okay, or any kind of, you know, beged could be anything. You can't get benefit from it. Nitare v'achirim, 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 kulan asurim b'ana. If that beged got mixed up with other begadim, and those begadim got mixed up with other begadim, everything is forbidden. Rabbi Lezer Omer, yolich hana'a liyam ha-melech, same thing. Take the value of the beged, throw it in yam ha-melech, the item will now be permitted. Again, machloka permitted for, right, this would be a good question, right, permitted, I guess, maybe here you would say permitted for selling, but not for using yourself. Amrulo, ein pidyon lavadak kochavim. So again, they say there's no pidyon. So obviously, the question of the Gemara is going to be, why do we need both cases?
Why do they say the Dead Sea as opposed to any other?
So the Dead Sea, because the Dead Sea, things get destroyed by the salt. If it's in some other sea, it might show up again. The point is that when you throw things in the Dead Sea, that's the end of it. Okay? We do that now with when we do Bior Maser to the end of the third year and the end of the sixth year, and we take all the coins that we use for Maser, we're supposed to throw them into the Dead Sea. It's the same idea. Utsricha, why do we need both cases? Right? They're basically the exact same thing. De'iash me'inan kamaita, if you just had the bread case, you might have thought, Behaka Amar Rabbi Lezer, that you could do pidyon. Why? Mishum de'be'ina de'kagamra pat kale le'isura. This is very interesting logic. Once you finish making the bread, the iser is gone. It burned in the oven and it no longer exists. So maybe in a case like that, he would allow pidyon. Aval karkor di'ite li'isura be'enei. Now it's true. They're both indirect because the beged no longer has the avodah zarah in it. It just was made from avodah zarah, but the implement used still exists. So maybe then you would think you can't do pidyon. Ema modele l'rabana. Maybe they would admit that you can't do pidyon. And therefore, you needed that case. And we're going to say the same thing with the reverse. Yeshmina kirkor, if you just had the case of the weaving, you would say, Bahachamre Rabbanan. Only there do Rabbanan say there's no pidyon. Aval pat, ema modele the Rabbi Lezer. But you might have thought in the pot case, they would agree with Rabbi Lezer since there's no longer any etzim there. Why would it be important that there's etzim or not? Because remember, this whole thing is asher l'chatchila to do. Once it's done, so we allow you to do pidyon. So if we allow pidyon in a case where it's gone, so you might say, fine, it won't lead you to do it again because the etzim are no longer burning. Whereas if you see that it's allowed to do pidyon, someone might, and you still have the weaving implement, you might use the weaving implement again. That's why you could see the logic. But in any case, it's they both hold across the board in both cases, and therefore it's shvicha. Amar b'chia b'rei de Rabba bar Nachmani, Amar of chista, Amar ze'ere, halacha ke Rabbi Eliezer. We paskan like Rabbi Eliezer that you could do pidyon. Some people say it wasn't said in that order. It was Amr of Chista, Amr li Abba bar of Chista, Hachi Amr Ze'eri, Halacha ke Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, a different order of who said what. Either which way, it was said in the name of Ze'eri. Amr of, and they both said Halacha ke Rabbi Eliezer, both versions. Amr of Adabar Ava, Lo Shanu Ela Pat. Okay, now we're going to talk about like what I said, which is in both these cases, the Avodah Zarah wasn't in the item itself. Aval Chavit, but if you have a barrel full of wine, Yei Nesech, okay, this is, again, debate. Do we mean Yei Nesech, which you for sure know, or maybe we mean Yei and Stam of Avodah Zarah, that we don't know that necessarily it was worship for Avodah Zarah, but we're suspect. So, machloket about that, but Chavit lo. You can't do pidyon for this Chavit. Rav Chista amar, afilu Chavit muteret. He says even the Chavit is muteret, and the assumption here is he wouldn't be matir to do pidyon and Yei Nesech. What he means here is even if you hold by the Rishonim there that say it wasn't talking about a tarovet case, a mixture, here it must be talking about a chavit of yei nesach and probably stan yeinam that gets mixed up with a whole bunch of others, and then you can do pidyon to allow you to use all the wine that got mixed up. Okay, people assume that Rav Chista must be talking about an atarovet because it doesn't make sense. He would just allow pidyon if you knew there was yei nesach in the chavit. What is the pidyon do for you? Because the whole issue is you can't get hana'ah from it. But if you already took the amount of money and you dumped it into Yam HaMelech, then you're not getting any hana'ah from that item because you're no longer, right, you've already dumped the money somewhere else.
But
okay?
With wine, it's not Zev HaZeh Gorem, right?
No, it's not Zev HaZeh Gorem.
Isn't the whole thing, hana'ah and pidyon, is that there's two things. There's Zev HaZeh Gorem and there's the tarov. It's like...
Is it because of that? I'm not sure it's because of Zev HaZeh Gorem. I think they just assume because it's indirect. It's not, the Avodah Zarah is not actually in there. Mm-hmm. Like that's why they view it that way. And then, in fact, a case happens. And here you see, by the way, that it was a tarovet case. Okay, it got mixed up with a bunch. You can throw 400 zuz, which is a lot, right? Oh, sorry, four zuzim, and throw them in the nahar, and it will be mutar. Okay, so he says you could do it, and he in fact, not only said it, he passed in that way. Okay, which is interesting. Next mishnah. Ketzad mivatla. We talked before about bitul avodah zarah. We said a Jew cannot be mivatla avodah zarah. Right? There are a bunch of differences between Jews and non-Jews. Right? A Jew, it doesn't become avodah zarah until you actually worship something. Okay, as opposed to the non-Jew, whereas if he plants a tree for Asherah, so it could be Avodah Zarah immediately. If a Jew were to do that, by the way, it wouldn't work. That whole Mishnah was only talking about a non-Jew who planted it, because the Jew who does it, unless he worships it, it's nothing. And then we said, though, only a non-Jew could be Mevatel. How do we know when he does Bitul? So we're going to have a bunch of different options. Kirsein Vizered, if he cuts off, right, trims the tree, he cuts them off to use them, Rashi says, for burning or something. So obviously he's not planning to worship them anymore. So those are mevutal. Natal mimena makel o sharvit. Okay, take something to make a stick or a scepter. Afilu ale, even leaves. In other words, if he shows that he's using this tree to chop down for all sorts of purposes, even if he's just using the leaves from it, he's showing that he doesn't view the tree anymore as avodah zarah. Shifa letzarka asura. Shelo letzarka muteret. If we saw this before, if he carves stuff off the tree to make the tree look nicer, like Judy said, yeah, where maybe they form the form of a woman, right? So you're shaving it to make it look like something, then it's going to be asur. But if he does it shelo letzarka, right, not for the purpose of the tree, but he wants the shavings, then again, he shows he clearly doesn't treat this tree with, you know, the way, what they call kedusha. But now we say, if he does it letzarka, it's asura. But otan shfa'in matahe alehen. What about all the shavings? So let's say you carve this tree to make a beautiful image of a woman, and then you have all these shavings. So what do you do with them? Pligaba Rafuna Barav. Rafuna ve. What is it? Ve Chia Barav. Chadamar asurim ve chadamar mutarim. Okay, so one says it's asur, the shavings, one says they're mutar. Tanya Kemanda Amar Mutarim. We have a Braita, which we actually saw a few dapim ago, who says that it's Mutar. What's the Braita? De Tanya, Ove Kochavim. If you remember, we distinguish between a Jew and a non-Jew who shave off a tree. Ove Kochavim Sheshifa, Avoda Kochavim Litzorko. Okay, so he basically does it for his own purposes. He wants them. He Ushfa'a Mutarim, right? The tree itself and all the shavings are Mutarim. But litzarka, if it's for the purposes of the tree itself, hi asura ushva'a mutarin. That's obviously the shavings he's just going to throw in the garbage. He doesn't treat them with holiness anymore. He just wanted the tree to look good, but he doesn't care about the shavings. So here you see the braita. Okay, we can already stop here, although the braita, they quote the rest of it. But this already proved our point, that there's a braita that supports the one who says mutar. B'Yisrael sheshifa avodat kochavim, a Jew who takes an idol, you know, something, or this tree, or an idol, whatever it is, and starts shaving it, bein litzarka, bein litzarko, hi ushva'a asurim. Okay, since it was avodah zarah, remember, he can't be mabatel avodah zarah, so it doesn't matter what he does with it, it's still asur. Now we're going to have another interesting machloket, Rav and Shmuel. Itmar avodat kochavim shenishtabra. Let's say you have an avodat kochavim that breaks. Rav Amar tzarich levatel kol kisam bikisam. Just because there's tons of broken pieces here, there's still avodah zarah name on all of it. And Rav says that if a non-Jew doesn't come and say, this is not significant, this is not significant, this is not significant to every single little piece, then each piece is considered problematic till it's canceled. Ushmuel Amar, avodah kochavim eina betela ela derech gedelata. Okay, this is a bit of a strange thing. What does he mean? In other words, it has to be canceled the way it grows and not by breaking. Okay, so, no, sorry, what is, right, how do we understand this at this point? Because we're going to have a few different ways of understanding this.
An idol that broke on its own is nullified only if it broke in the course of its natural growth.
Okay, right, so it is the way I said it. So at this point, we're going to assume it means it only gets canceled if it breaks kind of in its natural way. So then they say, Adarabha, Derek de la Tam, Mimavatla. What do you mean? You need, if it breaks in its natural growth, that's natural breaking. That's not somebody came and canceled it. Elahachi kamar. This is what he meant to say. Ein avodat kochavim sricha levatel ela derek de la Tam. Okay, and then, so what are we saying here? That if it's broken, like our case, then it certainly doesn't need B2. Obviously it's broken. It's only if it's still growing the way it was growing that it needs to be mevutal. But if it breaks, of course it's batel legamre. So now they suggest like this. What's the root of the machloka between them? Lema bahaka miflege. Demar savar ovdim l'shvarin. Umar savar ain ovdim l'shvarin. Maybe their whole debate is, do people use broken pieces of idols to pray to them, or do they not? And that's what their machloket is. So, and right, Rav would say they do, and that's why they all need bitul. And Shmuel would say they don't need bitul. And they say, lo, dekulei alma ovdim l'shvarim. Everyone agrees. People bow down, you know, worship pieces. Now, the assumption here, what are they talking about? Like an arm, a leg, a piece that broke off that's significant. V'hacha, what's their debate here? Bishiv reishvarim kamech l'bede. They're talking here about teeny little pieces. Mar savar shivrei shvarim asurim, right? Rav says they're asurim. Umar savar Shmuel says shivrei shvarim mutarim. Okay, that's one way of reading the machloket. V'ibayit emol. Alternatively, you could say de kule ama shivrei shvarim mutarim. Clearly, everybody holds their mutarim. Even Rav wouldn't say that people are going to pray to little teeny pieces. והאחר בעבודה כוכבים של חוליות, ובהדיות שיכול להחזיר רק המפלגי. The issue is that it's something that broke that could be put back together. Okay, they're broken pieces that can be put back together. And a regular person, a hedyot, can put them back together, meaning they don't need an expert. Mar sevar keban, the hedyot yachol achzira lo batla, right? It's not canceled because it could be put back together. And Shmuel says, ein avodah kochavim b'teila ela derek teilata, dehainu orche. Ha lav gedei latahi, vein atzricha levatel. It's only canceled out derech delata, right? And this is that how do you explain derech delata here? According to this, right? That only if it breaks by itself, it doesn't need bitul unless like the leaves falling from the asherah tree where the tree is still intact, but here. Since it's broken and it doesn't have the tree still intact, but the whole thing broke apart, it doesn't even need bitul for that, okay? So the only time you need bitul, according to this reading of Shmuel, is when the base is still intact and let's say the leaves fall off or something like that, and then, since the base is still intact, you would have to cancel it. So derech gedelata, you would need bitul. Otherwise, if something just breaks, it doesn't need bitul. Whereas Rav holds, since you could put the pieces back together, therefore, he doesn't care if you can put the pieces back together. At this point, it's broken. So, therefore, it doesn't look like anything. Rav says, no, no, no. If the pieces can be put back together, then it's still an issue. Hadron ala kol aslamim. We'll start fourth parak tomorrow.